Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Hold down a step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, May 4th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Beautiful sunny day here, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Joining us in a moment for today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, How to Get Exactly What You Want Out of Life, will be Patrick Snow. Hi there, Patrick.
Hey, Flora, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're going to get to you in a moment, but first I want to welcome all of my listeners. I'm so honored that you carved out time in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. There are two ways that you can do this. If you're on the phone lines, just punch the number 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment, and then I can call on you. If you're on the web chat, just type in your question or comment, and I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air. Let me remind you that this show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. If your call is suddenly lost, don't worry, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything, because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. For those of you who are new to the show, I'm Flora Brown, an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3. That's where I got my real training. Recently retired from 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, the last 20 of which I spent at a community college teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, to learn about my new book, Color Your Life Happy, Uncover the Inner Joy You Deserve. It is full of stories, tips, and activities that will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from all fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of those things which contribute to lasting happiness. But let's get to the amazing show that I have for you today. Hi, Patrick. Welcome again.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am thrilled that you're here. Before I begin our interview, I want to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Patrick Snow is a publishing coach and internet entrepreneur. For more than 20 years, he has studied the field of personal growth and development. As a result, he is called the Dean of Destiny by High Achievers Nationwide. Patrick's destiny message has been recognized in major newspapers such as the New York Times, Denver Post, and the Chicago Sun-Times. His book and photo were also featured on the cover story in the December 5, 2002 issue of USA Today. Hundreds of radio stations throughout North America and Europe have featured him as a guest. Patrick has also been a TV guest on Seattle's popular Northwest Afternoon. Patrick is author of the book Creating Your Own Destiny, How to Get Exactly What You Want Out of Life, which has sold more than 150,000 copies since it was first printed in 2001. His book has been translated into numerous foreign languages and is a success roadmap for high achievers. He is also a contributing author to numerous other books, including the new Chicken Soup for the Soul, Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction. Patrick has been in business-to-business and high-tech corporate sales for more than 15 years. During this time, he has tracked layoffs and worker discontent. Patrick's mission is to help others overcome their fears by turning their career distress into personal success. Originally from Michigan, Patrick graduated from the University of Montana in 1991 and has lived in the Seattle area ever since. He and his wife, Cheryl, who's a criminal homicide prosecuting attorney in Seattle, Washington, currently reside on Bainbridge Island, Washington, along with their two sons, Samuel and Jacob. Please welcome, join me in welcoming the Dean of Destiny, Mr. Patrick Snow. Yay! I wish I had some of those handshakes and audience background noise, Patrick.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Flora. I'm excited to be here. I know we're going to have fun over the next hour or so.
Oh, yes, we are. So let's get to the questions I have for you. The very first one is taken straight from your book title. What do you mean by destiny, and how do we, as individuals living in today's world, discover our own destiny?
Well, it's a very good question, Dr. Brown. A lot of people don't understand that there are two kinds of people out there. There are the pessimists of the world, which are about 90% of folks, and those people don't believe there's anything that they can do about their destiny, anything they can do about their future. They live by the mantra that, you know what, all of it is predetermined by their DNA. It's predetermined by their bank account, by their relationships, by their job, by their circumstances, by their lack of work or lack of experience. And those folks, I don't know what to say about those folks. Good people, but oftentimes a little bit closed-minded. I believe destiny is for those optimists out there, folks like you and I, that believe, you know, it is possible to create our own destiny. It's possible to create that future that we want. So I firmly define destiny as meaning fate. If you were to look up fate in the dictionary, you'd find that fate is defined as the supposed force that predetermines all the events which occur in your life. So my question is, what do you suppose those supposed forces are in our lives that predetermine our destiny? And I can tell you this, it's not the economy. It's not the real estate or the mortgage crisis. It's not your bank account. It's not your lack of education or your lack of experience or your lack of relationships. And those things are obstacles and adversities. It is my belief that the supposed force that predetermines your destiny and my destiny and every other human being on this planet is our mind. As Henry Ford once said, whether we think we can or we think we can't, either way, you're right. See, creating your own destiny means when your mind believes your goals to be true, it stimulates your senses to attract you to the people, the places, and the circumstances necessary to convert that mental image into a physical reality. So for me, destiny means whatever we want in life, we make a decision to pursue it. Once we've mentally decided and we believe in that vision, our body and our hands create and mold whatever that future is that we perceive. And that's what destiny is all about.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, I imagine there are people listening who are out of work, perhaps, and perhaps there are people who have jobs, they're fortunate enough to have jobs, and they're unhappy with those jobs. Now, what do you say to those people who perhaps want to pursue their destiny, but right now they're feeling disillusioned and trapped? What do you say to them?
Well, a couple things. First off, USA Today did a study on the level of happiness in the United States with people at work. And the study reported that 50% of Americans are unhappy at work. The numbers in Canada and in New England were even more severe, like 66% were unhappy at work. I firmly believe the other 50% are unhappy as well. They just haven't figured it out yet. So bottom line, what I tell these people is that, look, I'm a victim of layoff myself. I was laid off at 9/11 in high-tech corporate sales, was laid off again 2 years later in 2002, and after having two strikes against me, I made a decision, and that decision was never again would I ever find myself in a position where I'm going to let my family's financial future be determined by the success or a failure of another company. And so I believe if we're to truly pursue our destinies, truly create that lives that, that we want, then we must eliminate the dependence on corporate America. We must eliminate the dependence on having a job. I mean, bottom line, there's a memo that went out last year. I don't know if you saw it, but the memo said that all jobs are dead, meaning that job security in this country no longer exists. So our challenge then is to create income security. And so income security can be defined by having multiple streams of income, multiple ways in which you get paid, successful partnerships with multiple companies, and you, as a result, getting multiple paychecks into that mailbox. And once you have enough streams of income coming in, then you realize that why in the world would I ever want to have a job and have to sacrifice and trade all those dollars, that time for dollars. And so what I would tell people who are out of work, unhappy at work, or disillusioned to feel trapped by their existing job, I would ask them to soul search for their innermost passion and then take an inventory of these passions. The next question would be then, which of those passions are marketable? Which of them are there issues and challenges in the marketplace? And then once they have an understanding as to what those are, my advice would be for them to transform their most marketable passions into their own business and then eventually have them moonlight part-time on the side, keep the day job. Again, a day job is a good thing, but sooner or later all jobs come to an end. So my response is to keep your day job, use the income from your day job as seed money for your business. And then eventually, once you're debt-free from a consumer standpoint, or once you've got 1 year's worth of income saved in the bank, or once you've got more income coming in every month from your business than from your job, then you've got my approval to quit your job, transition full-time in your business, and then make a go at pursuing your destiny as a business owner as opposed to a business employee.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that people should keep their day jobs, because many times people get so frustrated with their jobs, they want to just quit and walk away. And that's not a very good thing unless you have some kind of backup plan. But
well, if you have another job. I mean, I tell people that all the time. The best time to get another job is when you already have one.
And the thing you said that was important is that you keep the day job and you start working on your dream on the side. And I'm thinking that even if you're unhappy with your job, if you have made what I call a getaway plan, and that is you are working on your dream on the side, it makes going to work so much better. You have such a greater outlook on your job when you know that it's not forever, I think.
You can just bite your tongue and realize, you know what, this shoot too shall pass, and this
right.
is only a university. I remember, this reminds me of when I was a young man, right fresh graduated from college. My wife and I were married. We just had our first child. And I went out and I picked up a paper route, for goodness sakes. And I delivered 120 newspapers every morning for 9 months, because that extra $500 a month is what gave us the ability to financially make it. And so I'm of the belief that absolutely keep the day job, bite your tongue, understand and know that it's just temporary, and you will get through it and then eventually be able to pursue that destiny as an entrepreneur.
Right. Okay, that's wonderful. That's very good advice. What can you tell people? You've already talked about your passion, and there's some people who have difficulty even visualizing their dream. Would you said earlier that they should think about what they're passionate about. What about those people? I've met a few people in my lifetime who say that they can't even think of anything that they're passionate about, which is kind of scary, but what do you say to those people who have trouble even coming up with something they're passionate about? How do they get into that and visualize a dream?
Well, I think there's two kinds of people in that category. There's one person that they don't really know what they want, and then there's the second person that kind of knows what they want, but because they don't know how to get it, they don't pursue that. So the first person I would ask is, if you were to have a $10 million winning lottery ticket, what is it that you would do? How would you spend your time? Where would you go? What are the activities that you would pursue if money were not an issue? And then once they get out of their box and realize, wait a minute, if money were not an issue, I would do this and that and this and that and everything else, then my answer is, okay, well, being that money is an issue, why don't you continue to do those things? They say, well, because of this and that or whatever else. Well, there's always a way to overcome the obstacle or to go around the adversity. And so based on that, I would have those people understand and ask that question. If money wasn't an issue, what would you do? The second kind of person that has a dream, a vision, something that they want to do, but they never take action on it because they're convinced that they need to know how they're going to do it. And I've got a mentor friend of mine by the name of Larry Olson who wrote a book titled Get a Vision and Live It. And this is what he said about vision. He says, first we must taste our vision, then touch our vision, then smell our vision, feel our vision, emotionalize, and finally own our vision. And once we learn to own our visions, the how slowly presents itself over time. Martin Luther King said, you do not need to see the top of the stairwell. All you need to do is take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and then eventually you end up at the top, and you can see. I've got a quote in my book. It says this about vision and about destiny. Only those who can see the invisible can achieve the impossible. And ultimately, it's the belief in your vision that holds the key to creating your own destiny. W. Clement Stone said it best. He said, if you want something bad enough, you tell enough other people what it is that you want, and then sooner or later, someone will show up in your life and miraculously help you achieve that vision. So that's what I would tell those people is pursue your passions, pursue your hobbies, even if you don't know how, even if money is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put out a message to the universe, what it is that you want, and then you take action on that, Brian Tracy says, act boldly, and unseen forces will come to your aid. I firmly believe that is the case.
Yes, I do too. I do too. I was looking through your book this morning, and I noticed that you have a mission statement. Could you discuss the importance of writing a mission statement? What's the importance of that?
Well, several years ago when I was in high-tech sales, it was very a sign of the times to go through an ISO or ISO 9000 certification. And that was a standard of quality checks to make certain that you had your paperwork in a row, that you had your vision statement, your values, everything communicated to your customers. And I remember painstakingly at our company going through and getting these ISO certifications done. And I thought, my goodness, for goodness sakes, why is it that companies have mission statements, but yet we as human beings do not? And so I transferred that knowledge or that experience into writing a personal mission statement. And I think oftentimes in life, we as human beings are tempted. Maybe it's, you know, drugs. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's, the quick pursuit of money somewhat unethically or illegally or immorally. And so oftentimes we are tempted in life, and if we don't know what our mission statement is, if we don't know what it is that we believe in, what our values are, what our ethics are, then we can't be swayed by that temptation. There's an old quote that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so I firmly believe that a mission statement serves as your moral, character, ethical principle that you stand on. It is the definition of who you are, what you stand for, what it is that you want out of life. And anytime you're faced with any tough challenges, any tough decisions in life, I encourage my clients to go back, read your mission statement, and as a result, there'll be no uncertainty as to what the decision is. And if you look at my vision statement, it's all about keeping my faith and my family as top priorities. My wife and I have been married for 18 and a half years, and I'm proud to be married to 18 and a half years. I love her dearly, but like any other couple, we've had our ups and downs. And when I've read my mission statement, it says to be a loyal, supportive, and husband to my wife, And as a result of having that, that keeps me understanding that that is who I'm married to. That's the one I love forever and ever and ever. And she's the one for me. You know, anytime we go through these tough times, I think, okay, yeah, this is just a challenge. But she is part of my mission statement, and she's part of my future, so we're going to get through these tough times. And you know what, Dr. Brown, we've always gotten through those, and I firmly believe that, you know, having her as part of my mission statement has been a part of my success.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, Patrick. While we're talking, you mentioned your business. Would you take a few moments to tell us what you do for those budding authors and speakers who are listening and give them your website?
My site is bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com, bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com. And basically what I do is I'm a business ownership advocate, and I firmly believe that the best way in which you can market your business, no matter what business that you're in, is to write and publish and promote your book to promote your business. I've got a quote on my website that says this: the affluent entrepreneur's best-kept secret is to write and publish a book to promote your business, because no other marketing strategy provides this large of a return on your investment. I think a book is better than a website, better than an advertisement, better than a flyer, better than advertising on TV or radio. I firmly believe that a book is the best tool, the best resource that we can have to market our business. So what I do is I work with entrepreneurs of all different types, whether it be fiction, nonfiction, adult books, you know, how-to books, children's books, it doesn't matter. It's the same process. And after spending $20,000 and 5 years of my life writing and publishing the first edition of Creating Your Own Destiny, I created a 16-step, 55-page publishing roadmap. And as a result of that, I started helping my clients get published 8 years ago. And so I do basically five things for my clients. Number one, I serve as their publishing coach to get them published. Two, once published, I become their book marketing coach, showing them how to become a best-selling author at 35,000 copies sold. Three is to help them launch their speaking career. Four is to help them launch their coaching career. And five is to help them launch their consulting career. So those are the five things that I do. I'm absolutely passionate about the information empire industry. I'm passionate about helping entrepreneurs make their dreams come true by becoming highly paid professional authors, speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs. And if I can do it, anyone can. I mean, let's face it, I have a 4-year degree in political science, and that's it. And if I can become a highly paid professional speaker and coach, then I think anyone can. But the problem is, too many people write a book, they promote it, and they abandon it, and then they up and they write book two, book three, book four, book five. And my coach early on said, Patrick, you'd be better off writing one book on whatever theme that you're most passionate about, and for me that theme is destiny, and then spend the rest of your life updating, revising, adding new stories, experiences, awards, content to the book. And so that's exactly what I've done with Creating Your Own Destiny. Is the book originally came out 9 years ago, 140 pages in softcover, and now we're 9 years later, 320 pages, hardcover, forward by Brian Tracy, and 16 chapters. So I've got 180 new pages of content. So that's what I do when I'm not on the road keynote speaking, is I work with entrepreneurs to help them get published and help them turn their book into their lead-generating tool. So whatever business that they're in, their book can serve as that tool to help them grow their business. And I love what I do, and my greatest moment is when my new clients get their books to show up at their doorstep, and oftentimes they'll crack open that bottle of champagne and celebrate, and I love that when they hit that milestone.
Wow. Well, I want to let everybody know that I'm very proud to say that you are my coach, and you have been very instrumental in helping me get my book done. It's at the proofreaders right now, Patrick, so it's almost to the printer. Listen, I just thought about the goals that people might have. I noticed in your book you stress writing goals. What's important of, you know, you can think of goals. What's the importance of writing them down? Why do you suggest that?
Well, here's the bottom line is, and I've heard one study after another, and something says, like, one study says if you write your goals down, the chances of you attaining those goals increase by, like, 90% as opposed to not writing them down at all. So the bottom line is your mind creates your future. Whatever self-talk you have, that's how your body reacts. Your hands deliver whatever your minds create. So if we're, our mind is to have a thought, a dream, a vision, something that we're conscious towards creating, then in order for anything to happen towards the pursuit of that, then when we write that down on paper, we have inked that in stone, and as a result, that makes us realize that, wow, yeah, that is something that I want. And then as we look at that goal over and over and over and over again, it makes us realize that, yes, indeed, we can achieve and pursue those goals and dreams. And that's why writing it down, because it gives us the ability to reinforce our visions, reinforce that what we want. And oftentimes we're bombarded with so many messages every single day that if we don't have a clear, concise idea of what it is that we want, without having goals, then we're just going to kind of wander aimlessly like a leaf falling off a tree in a windstorm. And so I firmly believe that's why it's so important to write down those goals.
Which gets me to a quote that I saw in your chapter on putting your family ahead of work. You quoted John Atkinson, who said, "If you don't run your life, somebody else will." So that gets at the same thing you were just saying. If you don't have a written plan, you will be a part of somebody's goal. It just won't be yours, is what you're saying. Talk about putting your family ahead of work.
Well, I don't know that anybody in this world has ever ended up on their deathbed thinking, you know what, it's a darn shame. I should have spent more time at work. I should have made more phone calls. Should have sent more emails. I should have researched my subject matter of interest longer. Nobody ever says that. The answer we get back is, I should have spent more time with my family. I should have spent more time with my children. And I'm of the belief, and I'm just saddened. Well, I'm saddened and, I guess, rejoicing that my 17-year-old boy is graduating from high school, and in about 5 to 6 weeks, he's going to go off and... He's going to go play Division I lacrosse at Fairfield University in Fairfield, Connecticut in the fall. So I'm in the Seattle, Washington area, and he's going to travel on the other side of the country to start his life, you know, pursuing his college. And part of me is really sad, but the other part of me realizes, you know what? I have been home with him virtually every day for 13 years, meaning
wow.
That first 5 years of my life, I worked outside of the home when I had a job. The last 13 years, I've worked from home. And yes, there's been a lot of business trips. Yeah, there's been times I've been stuck in hotels, you know, gone away. But for the most part, by having a home office, I've been able to watch him grow into the young man that he's become. I've been there for him at his, you know, happiest times, at his saddest times. And I've been there to support him. And there's an old quote, I forget who mentioned this, but he says that children are like a bank. The greater the investment of time that you put into them, the greater the return on that investment will be based on the success and dividends that pay off for them in their life. So in my situation, I've always believed that family is always more important than work. You know, let's face it, you can go out and get a new job anytime you want, but you can't go out and get a new family anytime you want. And the problem is, in today's day and age, too many people are trying to do just that. They're trying to go out and get a new family, divorce after divorce after divorce. And it doesn't work. The grass is not greener on the other side. And so based on that, I encourage my clients to, look, keep your family as a top priority. If there's, obviously you have to make a living. You have to be able to provide for your family. But when in doubt, between going to the business meeting and spending time with your children, always pick the children over the business. I can't tell you how many people I know that make all kinds of money. They've done very, very well successfully, but they're miserably divorced, their kids are screwed up, they never get to spend any time with them, and they have, because it's one thing to have a five-year-old that gets into trouble at school, biting a kid. It's another thing to have a 25-year-old going out there committing crimes and stealing and robbing and doing these kind of things. you know, that's a whole nother, you know, issue there. But, yeah, I'm a big family advocate guy, and I think we all need to keep our families a top priority.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I don't think we can hold our kids back. We got to give them wings so that they can soar and travel anywhere in the world that they want. When I was 18 years old, I called up my mother and father after spending 6 months at a college in Michigan, and I realized, you know, I don't want to go to school here. So I called them up, and I said, Mom and Dad, I'm transferring to the University of Montana. 2,000 miles from home, didn't know a single person west of the Mississippi. And they could have said, Patrick, I'm sorry, but you can't do that. That's too far away. Well, they said, Patrick, that is wonderful. Congratulations. Just please try to come home in the summer. and they supported me, and I've got to do the same. But I firmly believe that we must spend time with our children, and as we do that, inevitably, hopefully later in our years, they'll spend time with us in return.
Yeah, I know you believe also in answering to a higher power. The belief in a higher power is being an important part of your business and your family. Could you talk about that briefly?
Well, when I was 17 years old, I attended a Fellowship of Christian Athletes football camp, and I was born and raised in Catholicism, and that was a great way to grow up. Went to Catholic school till 8th grade, and I think my morals and ethics all stemmed from that. But at 17 years old, I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, and I was exposed to Jesus Christ in a way that I had never been.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, was saved at that time of my life, and from 17 to age 40 for 23 years, you know, God and Jesus have been my co-pilots through this journey. And I look back at some of the most challenging times of my life, which would probably be right after 2001, right after 2002, losing a six-figure job, trying to transition into my business. And I look at the toughest times that I had, and let's face it, I risked everything, every asset that I had, every asset that I didn't have. I risked everything except my faith and my family. And looking back on those times, I wonder now how I got through them. And I know that it was because that I was on Jesus' back, so to speak. That footprint poem is so true that in your toughest times, oftentimes God is walking side by side, you know, with you. And then the toughest times when there's only one set of footprints and think you're on your own, but the reality of it is you're on the piggyback, you know, getting taken care of. And so I've been blessed, and I don't know that, you know, I could have made it without my belief, and being a Christian and my faith has really pulled me through some tough times. And as a result, you know, the last chapter of my book is on Christianity, and I hope that my book and my life and my lifestyle can be a role model for other people who maybe don't believe or don't know what they believe about destiny. And a funny story, Dr. Brown, that you asked about this, the first and the early editions of my book didn't have any mention of faith in the book. And time after time after time, I'd come off the stage and people would ask me, are you a Christian or not? And I'd say, of course I am, but why does it matter? And time after time they said, and so who are you to write a book about destiny and not pose the ultimate question as to what happens to life after death? And that made me realize that, you know what, there's some truth to that. So if a book about destiny, I should pose that question. And so my goal, my book, is I'm not telling people what to believe or what they should believe. All I'm doing is sharing with them what I believe, and then I'm asking them to identify why they believe what they believe. And that's really my only goal, is to help them start to ask those tough questions, and perhaps maybe they can be exposed to Christianity as well. I call it the velvet hammer approach, just slightly hitting somebody over the shoulder with a hell of velvet hammer.
Tell us about creating your game plan. You talked about a game plan in your book.
Well, I think that there's an old saying that says proper planning prevents poor performance. And, you know, people ask me all the time, Patrick, how do you create your own destiny? You're the dean of destiny. You wrote the book. How do you do it? Well, there's only three things that you need to do. And if you do these three things, you will experience the fourth. So my quote is dream, plan, execute, and soar. If you dream, plan, and execute, you will ultimately soar in life. So we talked a little bit about dreaming earlier, and dreaming is basically something that kids do. Many adults, the only time we dream is when we go to sleep. And so what I'm trying to help people understand is how important it is to dream while you're alive, while you're conscious. And those dreams are called visions. So now once you have a clear vision in your mind, naturally the next thing that you need to do is, okay, I need to put a plan in place. And if I execute this plan, then good things are happening. So first we dream through visions. Second, we put a plan in place. And then third is we take action on that plan and we execute every day the rest of our life to pursue that destiny. Mm-hmm. And if we execute our plan, then sooner or later good things will come. Sooner or later it will happen. It all comes down to that planning stage. And so when you put plan plus action together, ultimately you'll soar in life and you'll get everything that you want for the rest of your life. And have a destined, filled life full of abundance, full of more time, more money, more freedom, more health, more love and happiness in life. And I found out, Dr. Brown, in interviewing all of these people over the years, we want the same thing. We want more time, more money, more freedom, more health, more love, and more happiness in life. And I'm a firm believer the only way or the best way to get more time is to take control of your life, to go out and start your own business, and to regain your time. And as a result, the other things will come as well.
That's wonderful. You know what? I love this chart. You have a chart in your book under Daily Habits of the World Champion, and you've broken down the actions, activities that you do under family, faith, wealth, and health. And I think that people can really be helped if they put their activities, what they're going to do under these categories to ensure that you're covering these categories. I think
so many people think, oh, they got to balance 12 different areas of their life, their social life, their family life, their business life, their health life, you know, all of these things. And I firmly believe that, yeah, that's true. There's a lot of pillars of balance. But I believe the best thing that we can do is try to simplify it down into four ways. And the four ways to do that is to simply balance our family, our faith, our health, and our wealth. And if you look at those four things, I think that encompasses all of the above. Family is important because you need to have somebody to share your time with. Faith is important because ultimately faith is my compass to get me from where I am to where I want to go. Health is important because without our health, we can't make it. And then wealth, if we don't have the wealth, we can't take care of our family, we can't, you know, provide, you know, more and give back. People sometimes think that an abundance of wealth is a bad thing. I disagree. I think the more money that you make, the more that you can give back to the world, the more time that you'll have to volunteer your time. And so when you balance those four things, family, faith, wealth, and health, then you truly, you have something special.
That's true. That's wonderful. I know you believe that owning your own business is the best way to live and to build wealth. How does someone grow a business, however, on a limited budget? Because there are many people who have a business idea, but they don't have the budget. What kind of tips can you give them that would enable them to get started with the business?
A couple of things. First and foremost, I would say make certain that you keep your day job. Yes,
okay.
Business is going to be expensive. Yes, it's going to take longer. Like we talked about earlier, the 3X, 3X, 30X. Your business will take three times longer than you want, cost you three times more than you anticipate, but the return on the investment will be 30 times greater than you could imagine. And so through that transition time, keep that day job. Use the day job as the seed money to build and grow your business. And so now that you're building and growing your business, if you're like most people, like myself included, I don't have an unlimited budget to grow my business. And so based on that, I need to focus on the activities that will generate real results. And what I found over the years is that many people believe that advertising and marketing are the same thing. I couldn't disagree more. I firmly believe that while they're both a component of the same business plan, advertising and marketing are completely different. Advertising is very, 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 very expensive. Oftentimes it doesn't work. And for those people listening that are skeptical, you know, I'm going to ask the question, how many times do you spend money on an ad in a newspaper, magazine, and then you never got a single phone call? That's a perfect example. You don't need to go out and write better ad copy. You need to stop spending the money. That's what you need to do. Marketing, on the other hand, is very, very, very effective. Sometimes can be free. Like, for example, putting your business cards up on community bulletin boards. I'll share a story with you. Flora, I don't know if you know my VP of sales, Mary West. I guess you'll know her when you'll meet her when you come up to my Bestseller Publishing Institute, June 9th through 11th.
Okay.
In Seattle, Washington. But I went into a grocery store about 7 years ago. I tacked up my business card on a community bulletin board. The business card cost about a penny. It took me about 10 seconds of time. So it wasn't that big of an investment. Mary West card off the bulletin board. She called me up. She bought a box of books at discount. She started reselling my books. Then she started spending booking speaking engagements for me. She's booked tens of thousands of dollars worth of speaking engagements. She's gotten me on TV. Now she's my senior vice president of sales for the Snow Group. And all of that activity and all of those revenue dollars that were generated from Mary's hard work all came as a result of me taking a business card and posting it on a community bulletin board. So what I would say to those building their business on a limited budget, spend your money on marketing your business, not on advertising. Focus on ways in which you can market your business for free. Attend morning breakfast networking sessions, lunch networking sessions. Meet other people. Refer people. Always have your business cards with you. And then one way you can do it is to write and publish a book. That's, I think, like I said before, the best way to grow your business. All the while, keeping your day job and then eventually transitioning out of the day job and go that direction. I'm going to give you one example. I think we have time for a story.
Sure.
From, McDonald's, for example. The largest chicken seller in the world is McDonald's. A lot of people think it's Tyson Chicken, but McDonald's sells more chicken sandwiches than anybody else on the planet. Here's why. They have more points of distribution than anybody else, and they spend $2 billion a year on advertising. So if you're in a chicken sandwich business, how would you spend or how would you compete with that on advertising dollars? The answer is that you cannot. I've got a friend of mine by the name of S. Truett Cathy. Now, Truett Cathy owns the Chick-fil-A restaurant franchise. And if you haven't had Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, they're the best in the world. They're primarily based out of the southeast United States, and they're slowly spreading west. We don't have them up here in Seattle yet, but I can't wait until we do. But being in the chicken sandwich business, he realized that he can't compete with McDonald's on advertising. So he decided that he was going to beat them at their own game. So he went out and he hired a cow to be a spokesman. Because here's the deal. If you're a cow, you want people eating chicken. If you're a chicken, you want people eating cows. Bottom line, they have a love-hate relationship. They just can't get along. And so he had took out this billboard outside the Atlanta Fullerton County Baseball Stadium, and it said, one picture of a cow standing in all fours with another cow on his back, and it said, eat more chicken. Basically, eat more chicken. And then the next board that he did, it said the same cow standing on the same back, painting the sign that said, 5 out of 5 cows agree, eat more chicken. Billboards were a hoot. Cost about $10,000 to advertise on, to market on. He spent about $200,000 doing this, and he got millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of free publicity, free buzz, front page cover story, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, MSNBC, 2020, Dateline, one show after another about the Eat More Chicken campaign. And the point is this, that was done with marketing dollars, not with advertising dollars. So when in doubt, always spend your time and your efforts on marketing, and rarely should you spend your time on advertising. And when you do that, that's the best way to grow your business on a limited budget.
Wow. So you've got to get out there among the people, the grassroots people, and appeal to them and capture the attention of the media. It sounds like that's what his ad campaign did.
Well, the bottom line is this.
Marketing.
If you don't stand
up free advertising.
And what it is that you want, nobody else is going to do that for you. So you must get out there and know who you are.
Yeah. Wow. I wanted to talk about the beginning of the year and also sometimes spring, people often make resolutions or they make plans to improve their lives. And then we all know what happens to those plans. After a few days or weeks, they're back to their old habits. And in your book, one of your chapters talks about how we can make permanent changes in our lives. How can we make permanent changes in our lives?
Well, a lot of people want to lose weight. They want to change their image. And so, you know, December, Thanksgiving comes and goes, and they gain a few pounds. Christmas holidays come and go, and you got the Christmas cookies and all that good stuff. So there's lots of challenges in that regard. One of my favorite quotes on weight loss and molding your body comes from Henry David Thoreau. Henry David Thoreau said this. He said, "Every man is a builder of a temple called his body. We are all sculptors and painters of our material is our flesh and our bones." I recently heard a quote that said this. It said, "Diet or die. Diet or die." And I think when people understand the true, I think part of it comes down to educating ourselves as to what's healthy, what's nutritious for us. A big thing is exercise. There was a thing some time ago, people talked about, you know, 20 minutes of exercise 3 times a week is all you need. I think if you do that, you'll gain weight slowly over time. If you want to lose weight and get in the best shape of your life, I'm a firm believer that we need to exercise at a minimum 60 minutes every day. And the best exercise, and I believe, is walking. You go to
That's
the high
right.
school track and you walk 60 minutes every day for the rest of your life, people will drop so much weight, have so much more energy, get into so much better health. I teach a program called the Destiny Diet, which I've created, and I've got to tell your listeners a little disclaimer. I have no medical background, no scientific study to back this up other than common sense. And so if you decide you want to do the Destiny Diet, anyone listening, talk to your consult with your physician first. But three things. Number one, we need to exercise 60 minutes every day. Number two, we need to eliminate bad sugars from our diet, replace them with good sugars, like fruits and vegetables are good sugars. Bad sugars are candy, cookies, cake, ice cream, all that stuff. Anything that's a dessert is bad sugar. And then number three, I tell people drink water and nothing but water. And you want to have a beer or wine every now and then, go right ahead. But what I'm saying is get rid of Powerade, Gatorade, this aid, that aid, you know, diet soda, this soda, that soda, everything in between. They're jam-packed full of man-made chemicals and sugars. Sugar makes us fat. Johns Hopkins University just released a study that said sugar almost equals cancer. Every single one of us have cancer in our body. But if we do not feed it an acidic diet, it makes it very difficult for cancer to grow. So if you do more studies on this, you'll find that there are two kinds of food. There are food that are alkaline foods that are good for us, and there are foods that are high acidic foods that are bad for us. The acidic foods allow for cancer to grow and to spread. Alkaline food eliminates that possibility. And so based on that, those are my three things on that. How do we do it? I think we need to develop the habits. How do we develop the habit? Try it for 21 days. Do something for 21 days. Don't commit the rest of your life to something. Just commit yourself 21 days to something. And when you do that, you'll be amazed because after 21 days of doing something, it automatically becomes a habit. And as a result, then you can continue to pursue your destiny, get that what you want, have the health and vitality that you've always desired, and great things will happen.
Wow. And that's true for all the other kinds of habits you want to develop. But since health is one of the most important ones, because without it, you can't do any of the things you want to do.
That's right. You could ask the wealthiest person in the world, you know, if they prefer their health or their money, and every single time they would take their health over their money. Because you can always go out and make more money. If you're diagnosed with a life-ending illness, it's hard to, recapture that.
Exactly. One last thing before we come to the end of your segment. You talk about leveraging your network in your book. And would you say a few words about what that means?
Well, I think everybody, studies have shown that everybody knows 300 people. If that is the case, we know 300 people, we need to understand that not only should we leverage those 300 people that we know, but we need to leverage the 300 people that they know and the 300 people that they know. And if you continue on, ultimately you're going to meet and know everybody on the planet because the math works that way. So in life, I firmly believe that we are either being leveraged by as an employee, our employers are leveraging our time, our talent, our skills, our resources. They are leveraging our knowledge, and that's okay because they're paying us a paycheck to do so. But I'm of the belief that we need to leverage other people's time, talent, education, leadership, and resources as well. So being that we're leveraging and we're being leveraged. What I would say is on leveraging and focus on eliminate all the ways in which you're being leveraged. And as you do that, then you will be able to accelerate the rate at which you achieve your destiny. People ask me all the time, Patrick, how long does it create to achieve your destiny? You sold 150,000 copies of the book and you're 40 years old. How did you pull this off? It must have happened overnight. I'm like, no, it's, 12 years, 13 years of blood, sweat, and tears into this business. I'm a firm believer that overnight success can take 10 to 15 years if you execute your destiny every single day. Do one thing in pursuit of your destiny every day, in 10 to 15 years, you will have everything that you want in life. If you want to speed that process up, do 2, 3, 4, 5 things every day in pursuit of your destiny. I firmly believe you can achieve that success and create your own destiny in 3 to 5 years. But not 3 to 5 days or 3 to 5 months, that's for sure.
So overnight success is overnight, but just a whole lot of nights. Is that it?
Over the course of 10,000 nights or 5,000 nights.
Okay. As we near the end of today's show, I urge all of you who have been enlightened, encouraged, and empowered by today's episode to share what you've learned with your family and your colleagues. Remember, the recording of this episode will be here on my website at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return any time to hear it. I want to thank you, Patrick, so much for being my guest, and I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. Do you have any last words you want to say to the listeners, Patrick, before we sign off?
I just challenge everybody to pursue their destinies by dreaming, planning, executing. If they dream, plan, execute, they'll ultimately soar in life.
Thank you. And give your web address again for people who are considering starting a book or perhaps have already started one and need help to get through the process, or people who have a book and want to now move into speaking and coaching. Would you tell us again how to reach you?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two websites. The first is createyourowndestiny.com, createyourowndestiny.com. There you can click on free stuff and get a whole bunch of really cool downloads, special reports, and goal sheets. The second website is bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com. Again, bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com. And anyone that's interested can contact Dr. Flora Brown or myself for a complimentary 30 to 60-minute publishing coaching consultation.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions from any of the listeners or from the people on the web chat? If you're a listener and you have a last-minute question, you can punch 1, and I will see it and call on you. Otherwise, we're going to begin to wind down. I want you to join me again next Monday, May 11th, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, when my guest will be Dr. Kikanza Nuri Robbins, an organization development consultant and textile artist. Her topic will be Color Your Life Happy, Harness Your Passion. Let me remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please check back with the website as I am lining up the remaining shows for the spring and the summer. And I know you're going to be empowered, enlightened, and blessed by what I've prepared for you. I'm going to be signing off now and asking you to have a blessed week. There's this one thing I want you to remember to do. You know what it is?
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.